way. Just overlook the mistakes. We're doing everything as unto the glory of God. It's a new thing for us, but we know God is with us. Hallelujah. We know the move of God is on the way. You know what? And the move of God is not on the way. It's here right now. The move of God is here right now. All we have to do is step in to the move. Hallelujah. When the man was laying at the pool of Bethesda, when the trouble was water, they said, look, those that stepped in. And sometimes we have to learn to step into the move. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? The move of God. The move of God. The move of God. Are you looking for a move of God? Hallelujah. I just want to be renewed. I want to be restored. I want to be refreshed. I don't know about you, but I know what I want. Hallelujah. The move of God is on the way. With your Bibles in your hand, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. My life would never be the same after hearing the word of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have it, say amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it reads as follows. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm going to read that again. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, I decrease that you might increase. Father God, I hide behind the cross. I thank you for anointing the hearers as well as anointing your vessel, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for signs and wonders, O God, after the preaching of the word. And we thank you that none of us would leave out of this place the same way we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. About 2 months ago, the Lord said to me, bulletproof your heart. He said to me, bulletproof your heart. And I could not figure out why he would even say something like that to me, but the more I thought about it, my mind went back to like the SWAT team. The SWAT team, and that stands for, it's an acronym. SWAT is an acronym, which stands for Special Weapons and Tactics. So when I thought about the SWAT team, I says, well, they're dressed a certain way, and they have all their equipment on. And it says that their equipment, it includes the helmet. It includes the part that the bulletproof vest. They have ballistics. They have shields. They have tools. They have all kinds of armored vehicles, and even at night, advanced night vision optics and motion detectors for covertly determining the positions of hostages or hostage takers inside enclosed structures. And I'm saying, Lord, my Lord. I was thinking about this recent Boston terrorist. That's how they were able to locate him. They were up in the air in the helicopter, and they were able to spot that movement under this canvas. Can you imagine that? All those type of technologies that they can use. So as the Lord had begun to speak to me, he says, I want you to bulletproof your heart. Let me tell you, all of us are here today have no clue what is in our hearts. We think we have a pure heart, a clean heart, a good heart, nice, sweet heart. I mean, we have all kinds of hearts, and we think about ourselves. But many times, we do not know what's in the heart. The Bible says what comes out of the mouth is what's coming out of the heart. People say that a drunk man speaks a sober man's mind. So if you get someone drunk and they want to tell you off, nine times out of ten, they're telling you the truth. They're telling you what they want to tell you if they were sober. But they have to wait to get drunk to tell you off. So today the Lord is saying to us, he wants us to bulletproof our hearts. And the thing about it, he wants us to bulletproof it whereby we will not be moved or respond to the way people respond to us. How many of you are guilty of responding to a person that responds to you in a negative way, and you turn around and you give it back to them? Or you will say, well, what's your problem? What is this dude all about? What is this attitude all about? But see, God wants to get us in the place that regardless of how stupid they act on that end, that we will not respond on this end. So, and the fact that we're responding is because something is in your heart that's not so right either. Because if you're anxious to get with them, something is not in your heart that's right. Amen? Amen. Is it making sense? Yes. So the Lord is saying to us today, he wants us to make sure that we bulletproof our heart. So I began to think about the wardrobe. Our spiritual wardrobe includes a breastplate of righteousness. And I'm going to liken that unto the bulletproof vest. You know, we know that we have to put on the helmet of salvation, gird our loins about with truth, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. We know all of that is part of the armor, and we have to put all of the armor on. When that SWAT team goes out to fight, they're not going on with just the bulletproof and not the helmet. They are ready from foot to toe. So God wants us to be ready every day for battle, to bulletproof our heart, to make sure that we are protecting what's in it. Because a lot of times, you know, and many times the reason why we don't know what's in our heart, have you ever said one day, well, where did that come from? Something that came out of your own mouth. And you said, well, where did that come from? Guess what? It was down on the inside of you. You know, now Christians are not supposed to be cursing and cussing. But let me tell you, there are some Christians that will cuss in a minute. And we say, well, where's that cussing coming from? Because it's down on the inside. See, the Pharisees were concerned about the outer and the hands being washed and being clean before they eat. And the Lord said to them, look, you don't have to worry about your hands. Because see, he said, what comes out of the heart is what defiles the man. It's not what's going to, the dirt that's going to go down in it. You hear people say, well, as long as you live, you're going to eat some dirt before you die. So you don't have to worry about the dirt that you're going to eat before you die. But you got to worry about the dirt that's coming out of your heart. You have to worry about it. You have to consider it. Because you know what? The devil think he's shrewd. I don't care how long you pray. I don't care how long you read the word. I don't care how long you lay before the Lord. He is not hardly impressed. He's not hardly impressed. Because he's more concerned about what's going on in the heart more than what's going on ritualistic. You know what I'm saying? We could be so ritual and praying and so ritual and seeking the word and praying. But then inside of the heart is black. It's dirty. It's full of anger and rage and murder, wrath, fornication, sorcery, drunkenness. It's loaded with all those things. And God is saying, I don't care how much you clap your hands. You know, you offer a sacrifice of praise, but let it be a sacrifice that's pure. Hallelujah. Said neighbor. Bulletproof. Your heart. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to read this to you. As I was in my study, I found this information. It says, imagine a mountain village sitting at a high elevation. Just imagine this. The little village is situated such that its water resources are very limited. Aside from collected rainwater, it has only one source. It's sparkling, clear, spring-fed lake just up from the village. And, you know, and as I read that, I thought about years ago, my father used to pastor a church in a town called Alfonso, Virginia. And every time we would go to church there and come back, there was a spring we would stop. Every time, every Sunday, we would and get the best water. So I thought about this spring water. Spring water is good, clear, clean water. So we see here that this clear, sprinkling water that comes from this lake, every person and animal in the village gets drinking water from that lake. Water for cooking, washing, crops, and every other need comes from that single source. There's nowhere else to get the life-sustaining substance. Because it's the lone source that spring, it is the lone source. That spring-fed pool is essential and valuable. Every attempt is therefore made to protect it from any kind of pollution. Because of the significant impact the pollution would be so significant to everyone. Now, the Bible describes your heart in a similar way. It informs us that the heart is a critical center of life, which touches and impacts all we are and all we do. Scriptures also paints a complex picture of human hearts. Your heart is the real you. See, the heart is the real you. See, a person can be around you long enough and they can disguise themselves and behave in a certain way. It was a TV show that used to say, will the real Joan come forth? Because the others would try to mimic or pretend. But so the Lord knows the real Imogene. The Lord knows the real you. So what he is saying then, will the real you come forth? See, when all that cussing comes out of your mouth, the real you is coming forth. And that's not Jesus. Somewhere in there that you have closed the door where Jesus could come in and totally deliver you, set you free. But you'd rather hold on to it because it's comfort for you. Don't you know we eat comfort food? We have comfort zones that we prefer to be in rather than to be under the submission of the holy, mighty God. Do you know that? Some of us would never open certain doors in our houses to let people see. But so it is in the spirit realm. Sometimes we have doors that we close up to the Lord. So, well, I can handle that door. I can handle that junk that's inside that room because I know what to do about it. No, you don't know what to do about it. God is trying to tell you what you need to do about it. Clean house. Bulletproof your heart. Clean house. Bulletproof your heart. That's what the Lord wants us to do this morning, today. From the pulpit to the pews, nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt. I'm preaching to you like I'm preaching to myself. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Bible goes on to say that the heart encompasses the mind, emotions, and will. But the Bible doesn't only address our heart's complexity, it tells us they've been compromised and damaged. Hearts are twisted because of the disease of sin. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. There's more bad news. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My Lord. I mean, if you're walking around thinking you got a good heart and all full of pride, Jeremiah said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only person that knows the heart is Jesus Christ. He knows the heart. And guess what? He died for us. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And when he hung his head and died, he said, it is finished. Now, there are some things that are required of us to do. He has done all that he's going to do for us. He shed his blood. He was wounded in his side. Hallelujah. And they put a thorn of crowns on his head. But he said, now something is required of you. Lay aside anger. He can't do no more than what he's already done. But some things are required for us to do at this point in order to bulletproof our hearts. We have to lay aside anger, malice, jealousy, resentment. I mean, name it, whatever it is. We need to lay it aside. Hebrews says, you know, we need to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. Some things are not a sin that beset us. It's just a weight. Everything is not a sin that hold you back. I mean, sometimes you can have relationships that people are holding you back because they're always pulling on you. They're pulling on you. They're tugging on you. It doesn't mean that nothing is wrong with them, but sometimes it's where you have to go, where the Lord wants to take you, it becomes a burden. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens, but do you know there's a limit? Do you know there's a limit? God doesn't want us to be so overwhelmed that we can't go on and go forward ourselves bearing somebody else's burden. Sometimes we become their codependent because we bear so much of that burden that God can't do what he wants to do through them and in them. And sometimes we bailing people out that need to stay where they are because God's trying to teach them something. And we're trying to bail them out. We got to bulletproof our hearts. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament lets us know that the heart is desperately wicked. I, the Lord, in verse 10 it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let me tell you, you can be ugly and act as ugly as you want to be, but you're going to give an account for it one day. Yeah. A lot of times we think that because we can ask God to forgive us, yeah, but sometimes, look, you're going to give an account for your nastiness, for your evil ways, for however the devil will try to use you. You're going to give an account, all of us, from the pulpit to the pews. No one is exempt. Jeremiah says, my heart is not just subverted by sin, but it also has great capacity to deceive and be deceived. I can fool others. What's even more amazing, I can even fool myself. When you think about that guy that fooled all of these people, when you think about Enron and all these people that have deceived people to give all their monies away and to invest in scams, those people were powerful. They were powerful, and they had very deceptive hearts because they deceived so many people. If it sounds like it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. when it sounds like, oh, man, ooh, this is awesome. No, it's not. If it sounds too good to be true, it most likely it's not true. So we have to be aware. In its best state, God's word says no one can really know us as we are. We can't even know ourselves. There are people that have done things and they go back in retrospect and they'll say, my God, what have I done? In retrospect, my God. What have I done? And many people today are living right now. They are sorrowful for the things that they have done. But sometimes it's too late. They're going to have to deal with the consequences. Going to have to deal with it. It's going to be a lifetime of consequences that you have to deal with because of making the wrong decision. So I may assume I know my own heart, but very often I don't. That's why we said things like, I can't believe I have such thoughts. Or I didn't know I was capable of that. Thomas Hobbes said, "The secret thoughts of a man run over all things, holy, profane, clean, obscene, grave and light, without shame or blame." Did you get that? The secret thoughts of a man run over all things. We could be sitting right here in the church, and our minds is going over things that God has shared in his word that we must do, should do. And the devil's sitting there trying to tell you, you don't have to do that. You're free. You're your own woman. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine or do not fornicate. And we say, well, this is my body. As the world said, this is my thing. Do what you want to do with it. But see, that's, and you could be right in the church thinking over those things while you're sitting there and feel no shame nor blame. Amen. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say amen. Hallelujah. When you say amen, you're saying, so be it. We are in agreement. Hallelujah. So we see, so my heart is complex and it's twisted just like yours. But it also holds great power. The Bible describes the heart as inner capacity through which God connects us to himself in worship and relationship, or my heart becomes a place where that relationship can be betrayed. People just don't backslide just like that. It gets into the heart. You know, sometimes they might get hurt, or they might get distracted, or whatever might happen, and it doesn't happen right away. Do you know a thief doesn't just sit and just steal just like that? Sometimes they scope the place. They scope your community. I heard just a few weeks ago, in fact, I saw on TV where they says if you have a lot of trees in your yard and if you have a very high fence, you are a target for a thief to break in. Because what they do, in fact, this was a thief himself, and he was on 2020 showing people how to be careful to keep their house from being burglarized. He was telling us what they look for. You see, so don't you know the devil is doing the same thing to us? He's just looking for an open door to get in there and to take havoc inside of our hearts. He doesn't care how he gets in there, but as long as there's a crack, if he wants to get into your heart to deceive you, he will do it. We're living in a time where the Bible says good is evil and evil is good. That's the time we are living in today. So we have to really know that we know. We need to know what's in our hearts. We need to bulletproof our hearts. We need to say, Lord, search me. Search my heart. See if there be any wickedness in me. Hallelujah. Because sometimes wickedness is in us. We don't even know it. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Time is short, and the Lord is soon to come back. And you know, the Bible says the very elect can be deceived. But many of us are going to be deceived if we continue to allow the devil to fool us and make us think that we are okay because we sit and read 2 hours at one time. We pray and we lay before the Lord. But yet he is saying your heart has not changed. Hallelujah. Your heart is still the same. The Bible says, and Isaiah says, I will give you a new heart. Yes. A heart that was made of stone. He said, I will give you now a heart of flesh. Yes. A heart of stone don't feel nothing, but a heart of flesh is very sensitive. Yes. Hallelujah. Very sensitive to the things of God. Yes. When we walk around in the flesh, we don't care about nobody, how we talk to them, how they feel, or anything else. But when we have a heart of flesh, we become sensitive. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You learn to apologize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Lord, bulletproof my heart. Lord, I bulletproof my own heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the heart is a critical component of our beings, which we obviously can't ignore. There's a command tucked into Proverbs 4, and it provides us a major step to being heart healthy. Say, neighbor, do you want to be heart healthy? Another component we can use along with the bulletproof vest and the breastplate of righteousness, even though there are similarities in what it provides, that's what I want to look at this morning in reference to Proverbs 4, verse 23. It appears as part of a plea for the reader to pursue God's wisdom. And if you go into that fourth chapter, it talks about wisdom, how to pursue it. It's showing the father giving the son instructions. And out of nowhere in the middle, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Isn't that amazing? Now, the word keep means to guard in a good sense, to protect, maintain, obey, or in a bad one. See, and when you guard your heart in a bad sense, you conceal everything. You know, you hide everything. You're very secretive. Because what's going on in the heart is not of God. So, so you're guarding and you're keeping, but you're not keeping it the right way. You're concealing everything. But I want you to know, the Bible says there's nothing here that will not be revealed. You can think all you want that you're hiding your stuff and hiding your feelings and hiding this and hiding that. But the Lord says there's nothing done in secret that will not be exposed in the light. So even though you're concealing all those secrets that's inside the heart, one day it's going to be exposed. Now, first the proverb tells us that protecting your heart is of highest priority. That's point number one. Protecting your heart is of highest priority. The writer says, above all else, the original language is literally above all, keeping. Keep your heart above everything else you might value. Value enough to take care of and to post guard over. Your heart ought to be at the top of that list because of the vast consequences. The most obvious reason for the top of the list priority is that you have no other resource like your heart in nature or capacity or impact. Now, let's go back to the lake that I had shared with you earlier. Why wouldn't the village permit dairymen to let the cows graze nearby? Why not create jobs by letting a nice chemical factory build up there and dump their waste into it? Because the single critical source touches all of life. The proverb says, listen, that's the issue with your heart. Like I said, your heart is the most intimate and the most real part of you. It's at the most core of your being, the real component of who and what you are. It sets your attitudes. It drives your emotions or your motives, determines your mindset, houses your convictions, and steers your emotions. All of those are governed and stirred by the source that is in your heart. And like I said, the heart is also where God's Spirit dwells if you're a Christian. As such, it's the place down deep inside where the most vital of determinations is made. Whether you will walk with God or not, whether your God will sit enthroned in his highest place, or whether some other wall will, or some other will. So in other words, what I'm saying here is that you make the choice as to what's going to transpire in your heart. Whether you're going to surrender to God, submit to him, resist the enemy, go forward, or you're going to allow the devil. If you're not submitting to God, somebody else is coming in and filling the heart. If you're not submitting to his will and to his word, something else will come in and fill that space. And that can be anger. It can be malice. It can be strife, as we said earlier. Of course, God is concerned about our outward behavior External obedience, doing what's right, is high on his list. But it all begins here. If it is to be authentic and long-lasting. Therefore, says our Proverbs, prioritize the protecting of this most vital component. Guard it, understand the kind of onslaughts which come against it. I mean, what more critical place could Satan ever strike is our heart. Where more will your old fleshly urges go to again to subvert and seize control, but right to the heart? I've heard people say they hadn't had a drink in years and then had a tragedy to hit them. And the first thing they wanted to do is drink. I had one sister, and every time, you know, she was saved, but she had backslid and she used to smoke, you know. But every time she would have a fuss with her, a fight with her husband, the first thing she wanted to do is go grab a cigarette. Where's a cigarette? Well, you won't hurt nobody but yourself. You're just hurting your own lungs. Where's the cigarette? It was a comfort thing. You know what I'm saying? But the devil, he doesn't care how he deceives you. My God. So what is the first step we must do? What is the first component? What is the first thing we must do? In protecting our heart, what should we do? We should prioritize. That should be the first thing we should do. Prioritize. The second thing we should do is protecting your heart is a critical necessity. It's not something we just need to think about doing. It is something that we need to do. Satan's attacks and fleshly attacks are usually aimed at the heart repeatedly, subtly, and deceptively. The attempt is made to draw the heart off course. Paul said to the Corinthians, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That's Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The battle for your heart is like deceptive guerrilla warfare. It is unprovoked, relentless, hidden, and crafty. That's why the urging to recognize the crucial need to protect it. The word guard contains the idea of being both constant and determined. It's not our inclination to think first of standing guard over our hearts. The summons is, you must think differently. You must take into account what God says about this resource. Not just sometimes, not just occasionally. Time will flash past. Our heart habits will deep and determining the rest of our life. So our heart habits will deepen and determining the rest of our life. The Proverbs tells us, secondly, that protecting your heart is a critical necessity. What's the big deal? Why must I protect my heart? The verse puts it like this. It is the wellspring of all life. Other versions say, out of the heart flows the issues of life. There's no thought, no direction, no motive, certainly no behavior which don't either pass through my heart. This concept is a tough one for many of us. We are 21st century materialists. We usually view life from the physical and material perspective. We think of life as the people we know, the houses we inhabit, a job, cars, our physical environment. The sum total of all of that we think of as life. We view the internal realm, mind and emotions and other stuff, as kind of driven by the outside world. The Bible says that view of 180 degrees out of sync, it's not the external which governs the eternal. It's the unseen which is central and impacts everything visible. The Bible says what comes out of me has a beginning place inside of me. This wellspring, my heart, which defines and shapes my life. So next week, if you find yourself in a corner and stuff is coming out of your mouth, that's the wellspring of what's in you. You might not know it's there. You might not think it's there. But when it comes forth and you letting that next person have it, it's that wellspring that's inside of you. It's the issues of life. So if I play around with lust, and I don't intend to, if pride or faulty assumptions about others or any kind of garbage goes on down in there where no one can see, sooner or later, my heart betrays me. It will come out in some form or other. Someone made the statement, people like to play with sin, but they wake up one day and find that sin now plays with them. See, the Bible says play with fire, you'll get burned. But some people think that they can't get burned. They think that they are above temptation. I am so sure that there are mothers that have children that had no intent of having a child because they thought that they were in control and they could handle that stuff. But they couldn't. Play with fire, you get burned. The biblical principle in sowing and reaping, I will reap what I sow, and therefore I should put into my heart what I don't wish to get out. Paul said, sow to the flesh and you will reap the action of the flesh. That's not a threat. It's just a principle of the way things work. So if you hear yourself say things like, just this once, or a little one hurt me, or those kinds of movies don't affect me, realize you're putting seed in and you will get out what you put in. Let me tell you, you can't watch in and everything as a believer. If you are a single mother and a single woman, you don't need to be watching every kind of movie that they show with all of this lust and sexual scenes. You don't need to watch that. You go home and next thing you know, you want to try to implement what you just saw. When you're watching something and you're flashing through the TV and you see a scene, don't stop and look. Keep flicking. Keep flicking because the devil wants to get that into your spirit. He wants you to be deceived. Oh, a little bit of that movie won't hurt me. We hear cursing anyway, so what if I hear a little cursing in the movie? We're compromising. We're literally compromising. Even when we go to see certain movies and know a lot of cursing is in it, we are compromising. But the Christians do go. And they do watch certain movies. And I'm not saying you can't go to the movies. I'm not getting legalistic. But we have to watch and guard our eye gate, our ear gate, what we put inside. Because what is inside is going to come out. Jesus said the heart is full, either of right things or wrong things. We don't like to think in those terms because it means huge responsibility more than ever before. Maybe for avoiding junk and pursuing right input. Let me ask you, if we were able to do a thorough exam on our hearts today, what would we discover? The signs are there to read. Issues in relationships. The kind of thoughts you think, the way you treat people, the words you speak, the progress you are making towards Jesus Christ, your struggle against sin, the obedience factor, what you value, your money, your time, your heart to serve. It's when we wrestle with the outcomes that we begin to realize how critical it is that the input into our hearts be good ones. So we have to put good thoughts into our hearts. With that in mind, let's consider that three is protecting your heart requires practical diligence. And diligence means constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken, persistent exertion of body and mind. Some of you are thinking at this point, I'm convinced. So how? If my heart is deep and potentially deceived, as the Bible says, and if it's as full as I know it is to be of the remains of my life before Christ, how do I deal with it to keep it moving in God's direction? First, you keep it full. Psalms 119, 9 through 11, and Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, it addressed the idea of letting scripture become our sustenance, our heart's food, our filling. Psalms 119 promises that if we are treasuring God's word in our hearts, it will keep us from sinning against God. And then Colossians says, let the word of God dwell in your hearts richly. The King James says, the word of God I will hide in my heart so I will not sin against him. The saying is, nature abhors a vacuum. Our hearts abhor a vacuum. It's like the big bare spot we had in our backyard last year. I knew if we didn't fill that bare spot with grass and seed and water it, weeds would have come up. If you don't have a plan to fill your heart every day, something or someone else will. Your flesh, your enemy, will give you a hand. The father of lies will work hand in hand with your flesh to keep your heart fat and satisfied on the junk food of empty deceptions which lots of us buy and consume. Guilty as charged. I buy junk food. I have comfort food. I love it. I love peanut butter and cheese and crackers. Have cleared it up, eaten it all up. You would never have to go out and look long before your flesh will find ways to satisfy itself. And just like junk food kills your appetite for good food, junky thinking and emotions and entertainment and inputs will certainly suppress your appetite for the good nourishment of God's word. If you think Bible is boring or you never get anything out of it, those are probably the signs that you've been consuming and feeding it the wrong things. Keep your heart full. Read, study, meditate, hear, and memorize scripture. Keep it pure. Philippians 4:8 says, tells us, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Because of where our hearts were before we met Christ, it gravitates to the lowest reaches of thinking. Purity requires engaging God's pure word, believing it, claiming it when competing thoughts come along. So in other words, we have to think the things that are pure, honest, and just. Pure thinking, purity comes from outside. Purity comes from an outside source. We can't just clean up our acts. God's word and God's spirit will act together on our hearts, cleanse it, fill it, and then control it. Keep your heart pure. Third, keep it undivided. Psalms 86, verses 11 through 13. It says, scripture tells us, reserve your heart for God alone. Psalms 119 and 2 says, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Psalms 86, verses 11 through 13 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. How do I get an undivided heart in practical ways? My intent and decision daily must center on getting things before God in the word and prayer and asking God to become the focus of my mind and emotions and heart. Paul wrote, it involves taking every thought captive to the knowledge of Christ. Wrong thinking and wrong emotions simply cannot rule me anymore or rule you. Let me tell you, you can go home and you can sit in the chair and you can sit and you can sit and you can sit. And as you sit, you're thinking. And the devil is telling you all these things about your spouse. She's this, she's that. He's this, he's that. He's telling you things about church members, about your family members. He's telling you all these things. Now, you can either believe those things or reject those things. But if you allow your thinking to be stinking, you're going to act out what he's putting in your thinking. Because you know what's going to happen when your spouse comes into your presence, the next thing you know, you're acting ugly. They don't know why you're acting ugly, because you don't sit there and thought all these evil thoughts about him or about her. Now, some of you might not have been there or done that. That's married. Maybe you haven't done it. Maybe those that are married and have your wives, you have not thought like that. But many of us have sat there, and the devil will try to tell you, you know, you don't need to take this. You don't need to take this, and you don't need to take that. And he'd be mapping out a plan for you, because he wants to steal and put stuff in your heart that's not right. So every day, truth must rule. Significant spiritual warfare will need to occur at this point. That means knowing the word, claiming God's promises, standing on truth, and standing my ground. An undivided heart means that my heart becomes my servant rather than the other way around. It means directing it outward. It means directing it toward God every day, as David writes in the Psalms, filling it up and keeping it aimed along the lines of what God says, instead of allowing the world to squeeze it and shape it. It would mean refusing to allow other things to keep me busy and other priorities to consume me. What are the steps we should take? So will you do a heart examination this week? Take a look at what's there, what's been coming out, and pointedly examine what defines what you're putting into it. Ask yourself, is it still held captive by old emotions, historical relationships, and lies? Are you feeding from the garbage cans of popular culture? Sowing seeds that you really don't want to reap to someday in the form of words and habits and relationships. Would you break the pattern today? Just begin. Determine that your heart will no longer belong to whoever and whatever offers to fill it for you. Begin today directing it to Christ. Today, begin it directing it to Christ. And I said earlier, let God and his word and the Holy Spirit have control today. Do whatever it takes, but begin protecting the most complex and vital and far-reaching part of you, your heart. Many of us, as I said earlier, are proud of the fact that we read the Bible for hours, we pray long prayers, we work hard in the church for long hours, and God is not even the least bit impressed. Because of the condition of the heart. The going forths and the outs, such as hatred, anger, jealousy, malice, wrath, unforgiveness, fornication, adultery, sorcery, drugs, drunkenness, name it, are the issues that flows from the heart and are the concerns of Almighty God. We need to bulletproof our hearts by putting on the armor of God and remember that, one, repeat after me, protecting your heart is of highest priority. Number two, repeat after me, protecting your heart is a critical necessity. Number three, protecting your heart requires practical diligence. Said neighbor, bulletproof your heart. Give the Lord a hand clap. Well, well, well. If you could put some music on for me, Brother Jason, ask all of you to stand with your head bowed, your eyes closed. This wasn't a shouting message. This was a message that gets you to thinking. Because the Lord wants us to examine ourselves. Today is Communion Sunday. And one of the verses it says, let a man examine himself. Don't judge me whether I should be taking communion or I'm judging you whether you should not be taking it. You judge yourself.